Hello and welcome to Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. So today we're in Romans 12, but before we go there, let's seek God in prayer. Holy Father, we come before you thanking you. We thank you for the fact that you love us. It seems to be something I say all the time. But the fact that you do love us, you're the creator of all, and that you had a plan for redeeming us from the start. You knew our shortcomings, and yet you had a game plan to overcome those shortcomings so you could fellowship with us. And I'm grateful for that. So, Lord, I come before you seeking out your wisdom and your insights as we read. As we read your word in Romans 12, I ask that our hearts and our minds would be open to you, that you, Holy Spirit, would guide us, and that it would be you who talks to us, that there would be nothing from me and everything from you. I just pray, Lord, for your guidance and your blessing on this time. May it reach the people who need to hear it, and may it be the right things for them, including myself. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Romans 12 has a lot of different insights, but really it's the beginning of Paul bringing into the practical all of the theological elements that were given in the past chapters. And this is now the call to action of how to live. And as a Christian, how to live your day-to-day life. So one of the things that he starts out with is mercy, God's mercy, because it's only through God's mercy and his grace that we can do any of this. So let's start off in chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now I think about this, my body as a living sacrifice. So if I don't treat my body well, then I'm not treating the sacrifice to God well. And this is hitting home for me because I'm trying to change some of my physical activities. I drink too much. I don't work out as much as I should, even though I've been working out. I don't do it as often. I'm not as consistent as I should. And I'm not eating as properly as I should. And if I'm really trying to live this life, I then need to not just look at the physical, because the body is, you know, more than the physical. Am I putting into my head, into my mind, into my heart, the right foods, right? Just as there's the physical food, the meat, the potatoes, and all that good stuff, or some of it's bad, that goes into our physical, am I feeding my spiritual, my mental, as I should? Those are the things that I have to think about. Do I drink too much? Do I eat the wrong foods? Am I watching the wrong shows on TV? Am I listening to the wrong music? Am I reading the wrong books? All of that in order to make sure I am a living sacrifice that's at least sort of worthy of God's mercy. Sorry about that digression. Verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Now I'm going to talk one more time on that. So often in my life, I've taken that to be You know, humble means to, you know, self-deprecating. And I understand, and I am self-deprecating. But I'm also, a friend of mine points out to me, I beat myself up really, really well. I'm good at that. And I don't hold myself in high regard when I should on certain things. Not arrogance, but just not also, you know, really thinking poorly of yourself. God has blessed you and me with certain talents. And yes, we sin, but God also, Jesus died for us. We need to understand that and live in that blessing too, that we are worthy. We're not unworthy. We're worthy of his, we have not earned his love and his grace, but we have received it because he sees value, great value in us. And he wants to fellowship with us. We need to, I need to understand that. Not humility isn't, yeah, I suck. Humility is, you're just as good as me. You're better than me or whatever it is, but God loves me. It's a different perspective. It's something I have to constantly think about. Anyways, verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What I found interesting in this also is in the early chapters where Paul is talking about individual gifts, prophecy, leadership, and so forth, encouragement. He talks about those are individual actions or benefits or talents. So it's per the individual to work on that or to do those things. But love is something that is not individual. That's not a talent. That is something we are all called to do. We're all called to honor another above ourselves. Not to be lacking in zeal. We're to share with God, the Lord's people who are in need. We're to practice hospitality. See, I've actually seen a lot of been part of the various gift discovery things. What are your gifts of the Spirit? And often, I see a lot of these as gifts. Hospitality, generosity, love. Various of these that are listed as things that we are all supposed to do. And we're to love our fellow Christians, and we're to love our enemies. I find that so often the most difficult But also, I find it difficult at times to love my Christian brothers and sisters. And these are all things that I have to improve upon. But I can only do it with God's grace. And I was reading in Tozer's God's Pursuit of Man. He wrote about this. To will the will of God is to do more than give unprotesting consent to it. It is rather to choose God's will with positive determination. As the work of God advances, the Christian finds himself free to choose whatever he will, and he gladly chooses the will of God as his highest conceivable good. Such a man has found life's highest goal. He has been placed beyond the little disappointments that plague the rest of men. Whatever happens to him is the will of God for him, and that is just what he most ardently desires. But it is only fair to state that this condition is one that's not reached by many of the busy Christians of our busy times. Until it is reached, however, the Christian's peace cannot be complete. There must be still a certain inward controversy, a sense of spiritual disquiet which poisons our joy and greatly reduces our power. You see, Tozer summarizes, when we're God's children, he wants us to do, he knows what's right for us, and it's his will that that be done. When we don't follow that will, and we don't have that as our priority, then we're going to have lost some measure of joy, of God's joy. And we're going to be focused on the minutiae of the day-to-day rather than the macro miracles that God's performing. It's to will the will of God is to do more than give unprotesting consent to it. For the longest time, I've prayed, Lord, your will be done. Like it's a bad thing. When in reality, it's the greatest thing I could have ever experienced. May his will be done in all of us. And may we be thrilled and joyful for it. With that, let's go back to God in prayer. Holy Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. And I'm grateful for the way that you speak to us. You work with us and you love us. Lord, I pray that today we would do your will. That we would live a life that's worthy of you. That our hearts and our minds would be open and focused on you, and expectantly, with excitement, seeking you out and what you have in store for us today. Lord God, be with us this day, I pray. May we see you in action. May we see you in our hearts. May we see you in all that we do, all that we say. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining me at Just a Guy and His Journey Back to God. I hope you have a great day.